Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning into Red Ice TV. It's great to have you here. Henrik, we have a great show for you lined up today. We're going to talk about some of the European news today. A lot of the news out of Germany, but we're also going to spend some time talking about the situation in Greece, a little bit in Spain and Italy as well. And with us on the line today, we have Poseidon, who's a great YouTuber, has done a lot of good videos on the migrant crisis, a lot of the kind of shorter pieces, topical pieces, really, about the absurd situation that we find ourselves in. He did a great series as well. I think the series was called just Clown World, and that's actually still up on a separate channel. And unfortunately, he did have his main YouTube channel shut down here just a couple of days ago. And Poseidon, I think it was, 25, 27,000 subs or something you had on that channel?
25,100.
There you go. Lost at sea, down in the tubes. But you do have, obviously, a new one set up here too. We'll talk about that. But anyway, welcome, Poseidon. It's great to have you here. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you, Henrik. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
You bet. Thank you. It's great to have you here. I've known about your videos for, I don't know, year and a half. I don't remember when I encountered some of the first videos that you did, but you've done a great work, so it's a shame that first channel was shut down. But that's kind of the environment, really, right now that we're faced with. Do you know if was there something in specific? Do you get like three strikes, or was it just one of those boop, gone kind of thing?
It's actually a funny story. My channel just disappeared. I didn't get even an email. I had zero strikes on my channel. I didn't get an email with the reason they deleted my channel. I didn't get any strikes. It just disappeared. It was just nuked. And funny is that about 12 hours after my channel disappeared, they've sent me an email about one of my latest Clown World videos. And they said they deleted this one video, but they were so kind, they didn't give me a strike because my channel was already nuked.
Oh, well, that's nice. That was nice of them. God. Oh, what useless pieces of garbage they are. It's amazing what they've been getting away with. And it's just getting worse and worse all the time. A lot of people are getting strikes. I think, was it No White Guilt got a strike for adding a link to his guest's website? Right?
Yes. Just, I think, 2 days ago, No White Guilt, a great brother and a friend, he got a strike because he included links to his website and to his guests' social media accounts in the description of his video. And they just did this because, you know, if you get one strike, you lose the ability to stream, to live stream for 3 months. And since No White Guilt, 90% of his content are streams, they just did this, I think, in order to stop him from streaming.
It's amazing. And I think, didn't they change the rules so that it's only two weeks now, the first strike? Am I wrong about that? Was it, or is live streaming disabled or something? It's just upload you can't do for 2 weeks. I thought it was, remember they changed the kind of, now it's like you get a warning card or whatever they call it, right? The first one. Which means you can still actually do most of the things, I thought, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
Oh, I don't know. Last time I got a strike, it was last year, and it prevented me from streaming for 3 months. Yes, I think they changed the rules recently, but I didn't get the chance to experience the new rules because I don't think they enforce their own rules. The rules are just there in order to, maybe as an excuse sometimes, but I don't think they really respect their own rules. They can do...
No, it's just random. They do whatever the hell they want. That's the
whatever they want,
yeah,
yes.
Of course. Yeah, here's the creator blog, making our strike system clear and consistent. And I think it was this, maybe they don't have the images in here. Okay, well, they do have that, like, strike, you know, the first strike, like a football referee, I think, right? That's what they consider to be. Then you get a yellow card for the second one, and then a red card for your third one, and that means you're gone. But as you say, I've heard a lot of channels that are just literally, boom, gone. And I do believe that The Great Order had the same thing. I don't think he got any strikes either. It was just gone, like overnight.
Yes, The Great Order... Jared, I think 1 month ago when the Vox apocalypse started with Steven Crowder,
yeah,
he lost his channel, and you know, he's one of the most polite and careful speakers in our community. And I remember I was driving and I got a message that they deleted his channel, and immediately I knew that they would also come after me. And I deleted that day all my videos, everything. And I started re-uploading very carefully edited videos in order not to give them the opportunity to strike me. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even if I uploaded videos of my puppies, they could give me a strike.
If you're the wrong person, they will, right? If you've ever talked about something that's wrong and they consider you, and of course we forgot to mention Soph, for Christ's sake. Soph's video on the Pride and Prejudice, the LGBT movement and some of the propaganda behind there. Did you get a chance to see that? I mean, it's up on BitChute now, of course, but did you see her video on this before it was taken down?
I managed to see it on BitChute. I didn't get the chance to see it on YouTube, but when they deleted her channel, I read about it on Twitter and I watched it on BitChute, and I don't think it was extremist or hateful or promoting violence. It's just a little kid making fun, and they are so afraid.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is they are mostly afraid by people that are not really, you know, they don't have radical speech, because there are radical people out there with radical speech, and they don't get censored. I think they need some very extremist voices in order to have a bad guy. But people like me, like you, like the Great Order, like No White Guilt, like my brother Dingo South, and he also lost his channel last week. These people who are on the right but are not radical and are not preaching hate, because actually we are only preaching love, love for our family, love for our extended family, love for our culture and our children. That's what they consider dangerous, preaching love.
No, you're absolutely right. Exactly. It's you know, people that are kind of laid back and they are careful about their rhetoric, and sometimes I kind of know rhetoric-wise we might have a guest that kind of oversteps that boundary a little bit, but we try to have a general atmosphere of just trying to kind of take their rules into account. On one end, we do. I mean, on one end, it's a hard kind of game to play, I guess, for the lack of a better term. But you have to kind of evaluate: is it more beneficial to have the channel and try to kind of watch out for it and still try to reach new people? I mean, another layer of this, or I should say, finish that thought before I go on. Instead of just kind of like trying to intentionally antagonize or something, right, to get the channel shut down. But as we've seen, that doesn't matter in some cases. Those that do are effectful and target people. It seems like they just shut those channels down overnight. But regardless, it's a huge problem, and it doesn't seem to really work. I mean, look at all the shadow banning, the algorithmic changes that they've done, especially in the wake of the alternative influence research report, was it? All of the channels mentioned that I've mentioned this so many times, but it's worth bringing up for people that are new. YouTube essentially took that report and said, okay, we'll limit every single creator article, YouTube channel that's mentioned in this report, and make sure that they basically have zero growth at this point. And I've heard virtually from every single person that I know that was listed in that report, and they have the same issue. They can't grow. They don't not getting any subscribers. They hardly get the views on the videos anymore. Now, when you've started a new one, obviously you have less subscribers, so it's still lower numbers, but you have noticed a growth nonetheless, right, on it?
Well, in my first channel, I went through the shadow banning experience almost since day one. I was getting new subscribers, but at the same time, I was constantly bleeding subscribers. That people got unsubscribed, people got no notifications, people complained about this, and it was a real struggle against the algorithm. I applied for monetization, of course, they denied. And eventually I lost it. And my new channel, my former backup channel, I already see, I see a growth because there are people who know me and try to find me again. But I already see subscribers, losing subscribers. They delete about 10 to 15 subscribers every day. It's a constant game of cat and mouse with them. And I'm afraid that this is not done exclusively by YouTube. I'm afraid that there are some organizations working together with YouTube. Organizations that I don't want to name because it will trigger the algorithm, but we know which organizations these are. And I think they probably have the administration rights to delete channels. And they are actually targeting channels channels like my channel, like your channel, because I know you've got some strikes on your channel in the past. So they are targeting our channels because we are not preaching hate, and they need hate. They need hate because they make money out of hate. These organizations, they get money from the governments, they get money from billionaires, and they get this money because supposedly they are fighting hate. So they need hate for their business. Hate is a good business for these organizations. And we are not helping their business.
That is true. That is absolutely true. So obviously, as some people might be able to hear, if you are new to Poseidon's work, haven't heard him before, he does, of course, some great live streams, mostly, I think, Saturdays as well. And then he ended up, I think, deleting those actually from the channel and just putting them on the BitChute, but you could watch them live on YouTube. I think you still kind of do that. But obviously, I wanted to get to this. People can hear you have a dialect. You're from Greece. Actually, you're part German, part Grecian, right, as well. So you know some about the situation in Greece, but also you're monitoring the situation in Germany. So we're going to dive into today a little bit, talk about some of the recent European news that have been coming out. A lot of just atrocious, barbaric things happening in Germany just the last couple of days. But tell people, just if you want to share a little bit about yourself, when did you start making videos, and kind of what triggered you to go in that direction, Poseidon?
I created my first channel in 2017. It was under a different name, a different avatar, and it only lasted 1 month. And then I created my Poseidon channel in late 2017. And my first and the reason that triggered me to get involved with YouTube and create a channel was the so-called refugee crisis that happened in Greece. I was monitoring closely what was going on since 2015, and I wanted to get the truth out. So I made a mini documentary, almost 20 minutes long, with the timeline of the crisis, how the war in Syria started, how people moved to Turkey, how they entered from Turkey to Greece, how the Greek government back then allowed this, actually invited them, how some NGOs immediately came to Greece and started helping this process, and how then the people that came into Greece, almost all of them, they went to Germany or other Central and Northern European countries, because none of them really wanted to be in Greece. Their destination was always where the money is. There isn't enough money in Greece.
Sadly, I mean, you guys were hit hard after Goldman Sachs meddled in your business down there and created a massive recession back in, when was that, 20? And we could talk about that too, but it was almost felt like that was by design, to economically weaken Greece in order to let it become a passageway for migrants to flood into the other, more kind of up towards Western Europe. What do you feel about that situation?
Yes. You know, many people might think this is a conspiracy theory, but it all started in the late 90s with the UN replacement migration agenda. And they decided that they need more slaves. We are not giving birth to enough slaves for this system. And they needed to create an entry point into Europe. Now, one attempt to create an entry point was overthrowing Gaddafi in Libya.
Yes.
The other entry point, and a very easy entry point, is Greece, because Greece is next to Turkey. But they had to weaken Greece. So it started with Goldman Sachs working together with the socialist Greek government in the late 90s in order to get Greece into the European Union. Now, most people outside of Greece don't know this, but Greece wasn't ready to join the European Union because we didn't meet the requirements. And our prime minister back then, whose name is Tsimitis, he acquired the help of the Goldman Sachs, and they manipulated the statistics and the numbers, and they helped Greece get into the European Union. And as soon as we entered the European Union, they gave us big loans with a very low interest. We took them, and then we couldn't repay them. And this triggered the IMF to take over. This triggered a domino effect in the political system in Greece. And eventually, they managed to get into government, into Greek government in 2015, in January 2015, a communist named Alexis Tsipras.
Tsipras, and that's right. Yeah, I was thinking. I see Tsipras. His face. I can place the name. That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, I have a very interesting story. I have a close relative who is working in the Coast Guard in Lesbos Island. You know, that island near Turkey?
Yes.
That Greek island where most of the refugees in Europe came through that Greek island. So my relative who's working on the Coast Guard there told me that with the previous government, which was a conservative government we had, there were orders not to let anyone enter Greece. And the moment Tsipras took over the government, he sent new orders to the Coast Guard, and the new orders were help them reach our islands.
Yeah.
These were the official orders from the Ministry of Defense to the Coast Guard, help them. You know, and when suddenly those people trying to, not invade, of course, trying to visit, try to visit Greece because they love the Parthenon and our culture.
Yeah, tourists. Just checking
yes,
things out.
Yes, tourists.
Yeah.
When they suddenly realize that the Coast Guard is helping them, this sent a very strong message globally, because this played on the news and people all over the world saw this. They saw the Greek Coast Guard helping them, and this created this domino. This motivated more people, not only from Syria. We have refugees coming to Greece who came from the Caribbean, from Haiti, from Jamaica, from Venezuela, from Nepal, from all over the world. We have tourists coming into our lovely country, but none of them actually stay here. Almost all of them left. Very few of them are stranded here, and they are stranded here because our neighbors on the north, the Balkan countries and Hungary and Slovenia, they actually closed their borders. So now, because they cannot get through and reach Mama Merkel, it actually almost stopped this enrichment in Greece. But now they had Italy, and Salvini almost stopped it in Italy, and now they are going through Spain.
That's right.
And it's interesting because the people in Spain made the same mistake we Greeks did. They have a socialist government.
Yeah. And think about the link there, too. I want people to know that. Check this article out here. Goldman Sachs made 450 million euros from crashing the Greek economy, right? This was intentional. The financial crisis have devastated Greece. The goal was to get Greece into the Eurozone, and it worked. Now the people of Greece are paying the price. They have been crushed under the weight of crippling austerity, while Goldman Sachs carries on profiteering from the debt with impunity. And this is, of course, what gave way to this communist to get into government and take over. It's funny how that play works, right? Where you have the international finance working together with international communist groups and organizations and individuals to place them in power, to take over, to essentially run the country into the ground, you know?
A very important detail I forgot is that when dear Mr. Tsipras became the prime minister in Greece, after a few months, he had a secret trip to Paris. And when the media found out about it, he said, "Oh, I just went to Paris Disneyland with my children." And later it came out that when he went to Paris, he met with the Rothschilds, the Rothschild Bank, and he officially acquired their services as economic advisors for the Greek government. So we had Goldman Sachs advising our older government, our previous government, and now we had the Rothschilds. It's always a coincidence, of course. but thankfully, last month we had the national elections here in Greece. Mr. Tsipras is a part of the past. We have a new government.
But his legacy, remains as a monster who helped to crash Greece, essentially. Really worried how you guys are going to get back on your feet, because it seems to be very difficult to get the economy going and kind of out of that. You've had some good movements, of course, like Golden Dawn and things like that. But they have seen also kind of struggle to gain really the popular support that they need. They've been vehemently demonized in the media, despite most of their work have consisted of literally being out on the streets, helping like homeless people, feeding people, helping people in need and stuff like that, you know?
Yes, the Golden Dawn, I remember a few years ago, they were giving out free food and groceries to poor Greeks. And because they were only giving the food and the groceries to people who had a Greek identity card, a Greek nationality, and they weren't giving it to foreign doctors and engineers, the government back then, Mr. Tsipras, they made a law and they made it illegal to discriminate who you give food to. And then they accused them as a criminal organization, mafia. And a few of them were in jail for a short time until their hearing. And basically, the entire political system and the media system, they try to discredit them. And they managed to do it, because in the last elections, they didn't manage the Golden Dawn to get 3%, and they're not in our parliament anymore.
Oh, good. Yeah. Sorry. That's not good. I thought you were talking about the Tsipras guy. Oh, good. Sorry. I was reading the other headline we're going to get to here. No, that's not good. Sorry. Let me clarify that. I disavow my own comment. That is not good. That's horrible. Why? Is there any other alternative? Is there any other group that's the equivalent, or any political party?
A very new political party called Elliniki Lisi, which translates to Greek Solution. They managed to get into the parliament, and they are also nationalist. Maybe they are not so far right as the Golden Dawn. I think they are something equivalent to Matteo Salvini in Italy.
Okay, well, that's not bad. It's a good start. We got to be in somewhere. And Matteo, of course, is doing great work in Italy. That's why they're trying to topple him and all these charges. There's an article later I want to talk about that, about a gypsy that ended up threatening him in a national news report. And then when he responded, he was called, you know, racist by all these headlines and stuff. It's kind of funny. But there are a couple of stories we want to get to. I guess we could tie the whole migrant crisis into the scenario of what's happening between Turkey, of course. Turkey has been slated to become a European Union member, which is just astonishing if you think about it. I don't know what are they, like 60 million or something like that in Turkey? There's been these speculations and people have theorized, like, what if, you know, they enter the, maybe not the Schengen zone, but the free travel within Europe agreement or whatever, you effectively could have, well, there's no limit to it, essentially, about 10 million Turks going to, like, Denmark or something, or even, like, Sweden or something. That would totally just overwhelm the country. And now this story is talking about that this is a potential strategy. Actually, Erdogan has been threatening, saying if we open the floodgates to migrants, no European government will be able to survive. Now, I remember a story a while back where the EU had cut a deal with Turkey. They had given them something like to the equivalent of like 50 million euros or something like that. I don't think you have a zero too many on that, but if I am, please correct me, but a huge amount of money to get Turkey to respond properly to the migrant crisis and kind of make sure and deal with the situation there, not to ensure that all these people are flooding into Europe. Nothing came of that. It was basically free money for Turkey. And look at the scenario now where they continue to threaten us. Like, if you don't play by our rules, we'll flood you with migrants. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yes, Turkey. Turkey is the main route in order to infiltrate Europe from the east. So for people from Syria, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, they have to go through Turkey and then through Greece. And there are millions of Syrians, Iraqis, Iranians and Afghanis in Turkey. And in 2016, they reached an agreement between the European Union and Turkey. The European Union gave them money in order to feed these people. And in return, Turkey should stop them from going into Greece, because Greece wouldn't stop them. We could stop them if we wanted, but our government just didn't want to stop them. But Turkey also asked something else in return. They don't want only money. They want to be able for Turks to travel freely without a visa all around Europe. They want to enrich Europe with millions of their people. And there are already millions of Turks all over Europe, especially in Germany. And there are Turks, second and third generation migrants. And it's interesting, I remember 2 years ago or 1 year ago, they had elections in Turkey, and Erdogan, during a speech, he said to the Turks living in Europe, each one of you must have at least 5 children. That is his message to the Turkish people living in Europe. No, they want to...
I know. They know what they're doing.
Yes. And the sad thing is that our leaders, our governments, they don't say the same thing to our people. Have at least 5 white babies each.
Yeah.
Only Italy, Poland, and Hungary.
Hungary.
Yes, these 3 countries make us proud. These 3 countries try to produce new Europeans instead of replacing old Europeans.
Substituting. We can't say the R word anymore on YouTube, I think.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm kind of semi joking with you, but I think I think it's true actually. Hey, but check this out. As I said, this is not even including the first dollop of money that Turkey got. Check this out. The European Union's executive is due to approve a further 3 billion euros. 3 billion euros in funding for Syrian refugees living in Turkey, EU officials said before a meeting with President Erdogan later this month. This is back in 2018, March 13th, 2018. They're just like bathing them in money from the EU, and nothing is happening. Nothing is coming of it. Basically, more threats. That's what's coming out of it. It's amazing how dumb, you know, kind of Trump has had this rhetoric, right, regarding like how dumb America has been, and they're letting themselves be fooled, and no, the leaders are like truly looking after, you know, the people and stuff like that. That's true for us in the Eurozone. They're giving away our money while like literally doing nothing for us, right?
And I find it also interesting, why are we still talking about Syrian refugees when the war in Syria is over?
Yeah.
Except for one small region, one town, I think it's Idlib, this region. The rest of Syria is peaceful, and especially the west side of Syria, the part of Syria on the Mediterranean, they had never a civil war. they have, you know, people enjoying their holidays, bathing in the beaches, having fun. The west part of Syria never had war. And I always wonder, why do the people in the east part of Syria, when civil war started, why did they leave their country? Didn't they go to the peaceful part of the country?
Yeah, no, exactly. You're absolutely right. Why? I mean, in regards, if there was like a, you know, we hear these excuses, like when you talk about the southern border in the U.S. or like some of the Latin American countries, that there's been people that have been supposedly threatened by gangs, or they have been maybe even sexually abused or something like that. And they end up, instead of like leaving, like, I don't know, the neighborhood or like maybe to another town or something, they use that as an excuse to flee the whole country. They flee the continent, in fact, go to a different continent. And part of that, I know that the situation is a little bit different in just when it comes to Syria, but so many other migrants, economic migrants, piggybacked on the issue of Syria, and even claimed that they were like part of that, like Afghanis and Iraqis and North Africans even piggybacked on this, and sub-Saharan African even. So they've used this as an excuse to enter countries that are economically well off, that are prone to dole out the welfare to people that arrive and stuff like that. So many of them are nothing but opportunists, economic opportunists.
No, in 2017, I read an article on CNN Greece, on the Greek edition of CNN, and it had the number of arrivals during December 2016 in all Greek islands, all the arrivals and the ethnicity of the arrivals. And there were, like, as I mentioned before, Jamaicans. There were people from all over the globe. There were Syrians also, but Syrians were 4.8%, less than 5% of those entering Greece in order to reach Mama Merkel were Syrians. But yeah, the media, they try to convince us that they are all Syrians and they are all fleeing war, which is not real.
No, and they can enter in without any documentation and just say, oh, well, I didn't have time to pick those, or I lost them on the way or something. Some of them I know have entered in multiple times with different identities in order to cash out multiple benefits that, let's say, Sweden or the UK or Germany has been handing out. So they're also defrauding the generous offer that existed to begin with. They are defrauding that and breaking the trust of these countries that have been kind enough to open their doors to let some of these people in, and violate them economically and just take whatever they can out of the situation. It's amazing. And we don't even have like the numbers on that. We don't even know, because we don't know who they are. I was actually looking for one article here when we got into the issue of Turkey and kind of what they did. And even as you said, in Idlib, Turkey has actually been fighting a lot too with the Kurds there, right? So that has actually perpetuated the conflict. So despite being in, that's a complete contradiction to the agreements they made with the UN to try to control and manage the situation, instead of just spurring it on and making sure that the conflict continues. But I remember one story out of the BBC called Raqqa's Dirty Secret, where it was revealed that the coalition forces with the US in the lead had allowed all these ISIS fighters escape from Raqqa, entering into Turkey, and then Turkey in turn had allowed them to go further into Europe. And the the coalition forces knew about this. They'd actually seen this whole caravan take off. It was a caravan that, like, from start to finish took about 2 hours. There were so many trucks. There were some trucks broke down of the weight of all the weapons that they had loaded up in them and stuff like that. And this was all out in the open. I'll just see if I can pull up the article. But what I'm saying is that all of this about the conflict, about trying to crush ISIS and all that stuff has just been, I'm not saying all of it has been BS, but a lot of it has been, and it's been used as an excuse to continue to drive the migrant crisis. But what do you make of this?
Well, I think the US and Turkey and also Israel, they have all three of these countries, they have played a role in continuing this conflict in this area. Each one of them has their own interests in mind. So Turkey wants to steal part of Syria, I think. Israel stole part of Syria, the Golan Heights, and named them Trump Heights.
That is true. That is true. That's pretty amazing. Trump Heights. Yeah.
Yes, we have Trump Heights.
He can't even build a wall, but he gets like air. He gets land named after him, and it's amazing. Anyway, go.
I think unfortunately Trump will give them enough money to build a wall there in the Trump Heights.
Probably. none of the cucks will oppose. None of the Democrats will oppose. Maybe the squad, right? They will oppose, but none of the other ones.
No, but. There are interests from various countries that want this conflict there. And I think actually Assad, President Assad, is probably one of the good guys in this story. And we, the West, the NATO, both the US and Turkey, they are NATO countries. We played a very dirty role in that region. The white helmets come in mind. The white helmets, which were created by someone from the UK, they were trained in Turkey. They were sent into Syria, and they were not actually helping people.
Why were they the first on site after every single bombing? Why? No, I'm serious about this. I mean, even Assad said they are Al Qaeda with their beard shaved. You know, he said that. Yes. It's like the proof is on the internet. And I mean, I heard him many times in interviews saying this.
You know, even if you use Google, this bias search engine, and you search for the white helmets and Al Qaeda, you will find photo evidence that the same people are on both sides. They just change their hat. And we funded this. We, the West, Germany, the UK, the US, we funded them. Turkey trained them. And when Assad won back control of his country, they evacuated them. And they evacuated them through Israel. And then they sent them all to the UK.
Yeah. It's amazing, absolutely amazing that this has gone on for such a long time. It's done with money. It's done against the will of the people. We're not asked. We weren't asked to fund these wars. We were not asked to open our gates to let all these people in. We are not asked whether we want to have this substitution policy going from the UN, which of course was kind of released as a recommendation to declining birth rates back then. But virtually every country that was mentioned in that, with the exception of like Japan and maybe Russia too, have implemented that policy guidance and said, sure, we'll do that. In fact, we'll stop. In fact, we'll demonize if there are any organizations or groups or individuals inside of our country that begins to talk about it and even says, hey, maybe we should encourage birth rates among our own first before we let all these other people in. Those are demonized as white supremacists and racists and things like this. It's amazing how far they've gotten with this kind of propaganda. But I do feel that there's cracks in that facade, Poseidon. I do feel that generally people are, it's such a bad state that people are generally prone to see through it. What do you think? Is it finally beginning to turn the tide with all this propaganda?
Yes, I think people are waking up in massive numbers during the past 2 years, especially in Europe. In Europe, we see a very big change, even political change, because people are waking up and they did a mistake. They decided to, I don't want to say the R word, they decided to...
Substitute.
To substitute. Sorry, my English is not good.
Oh, you're fine.
I have to remember this word. They decided to substitute us, the UN and the EU, but they decided to implement this plan too fast. You know, it's like the boiling frog. They raised the heat too fast in just a few years, and this made many people wake up. And now they are trying to contain it, they are trying to control it through censorship.
Yeah, and as we get this incredible clampdown on any dissenting views, right?
Yes, and especially in Europe, we have already laws about hate speech, laws about we are not allowed to say certain things about certain groups or certain historical events. We have already many laws that could land you in jail if you say the wrong thing. And I think that the next step for them is to implement something similar in the US. They already are control the social, all the social media companies. But I think they will try to take away your First Amendment of free speech in the US. And unfortunately, I don't see Donald Trump really, really helping free speech in this situation. He talks a lot about censorship from Google and Twitter, but he didn't do anything until now to regulate them and to stop them from this. And another reason I think they are censoring a lot of people, especially in the US, is because they are afraid about 2020. They are afraid that the same thing will happen as 2016. And in order to stop the Trump re-election, they will have to shut down everyone who is right of Antifa.
Yep, I think you're right, definitely on that. It's sad that he hasn't done anything. They know about it. A lot of people in his administration know about it. They talk about it. They tweet about it. And yet, like, what are they doing? This is largely his supporters that are being hit hardest by this. So we'll see what he'll be able to do in 2020. But just staying on some of the European news, I sent this one to you as well, and you linked it up as well. Rotherham Council tells grooming gang victims to add rapists' names to birth certificates so they have parental rights. We're talking about the babies that came out of these grooming gangs and these young girls that were raped and sold, sex trafficked and everything else. Unbelievable. I've even seen headlines where the victims' families are not given any kind of help or aid by the UK government, but the gang rapists, the groomers, have been given all the aid and help that they could ask for.
Yes, unfortunately, the UK is one of these countries that almost constantly is giving us black pills. The situation there is... you can only describe it as clown world. They care more about the rights of rapists who raped little children than for the rights of these children. So you have 14-year-old girls being raped and giving birth to a baby, and now they care about the parental rights of the rapist. I think only this could only happen in the UK.
Possibly Sweden. But yeah, I know what you mean. in an outrageous betrayal of the many Rotherham grooming gang victims and rape survivors across backward Britain, councils are now forcing women who have had children as a result of being raped by Muslim pedophile gangs to add the name of the father to their children. And that will give them also a legal, I guess, a certain... legal right over what to be done with the child and rights over it and things like this. It's absolutely amazing that this continues to go on. And look at, I mean, again, I'm being less and less of a fan of Tommy Robinson, especially his news crew over there, especially after they attacked Mark Collett. But regardless, look at how Tommy Robinson has been treated, who was the only journalist to report it on these cases. And again, he wasn't accusatory when he was standing outside of that courtroom, and of course all the media had been barred from reporting on it. They said no, they could influence the jurors, blah blah blah. He went there and what was the question he asked? How do you feel about the verdict or something like that? It was essentially what he said, and he's in jail now.
Yes, and imagine the psychological trauma that now these young mothers are experiencing, and even the psychological trauma for the children. Imagine you are a child and you suddenly learn that your father is a rapist who raped your mother when she was a child.
Yeah.
They are actually destroying these mothers, and they're also harming these babies. But they don't care. They don't care because probably because of the skin color.
Yeah, pretty much. It's shocking to the point of, so it's almost like you could only laugh about it. I mean, these are real victims. This is real horrors here for these young girls, obviously. But it's like, what is it going to take for this tide to turn? But there is a lot of anger also in the UK because of this, which is good. It shows who the real kind of enemy is. If we continue in the UK a little bit to go through some of these headlines that we had, Poseidon. Somali migrant gets right to stay in the UK despite 33 convictions, jailed for drug dealings within weeks. Great, huh?
There seems to be a total different justice system for these people. 33 convictions, and he's still free. And now they imprisoned him for selling drugs to an undercover police officer, selling cocaine and heroin. And still, they will not deport him. They will send him to jail for 5 years. He will serve half of the sentence, and he will be out again. He will probably commit hundreds of crimes before the end of his life. And
what will he learn in prison, though? He will turn to Prislam. He'll be programmed, in fact, but it's the white UK Brits, the English people. That's your enemy, and you have to. They get trained and like almost educated in some of these prisons, and of course indoctrinated with the religion and stuff like that. I think he'll just come out a more dangerous individual if he ends up even serving any time.
It's crazy how so many thousands, millions of people can come into our countries, commit crimes, sometimes dozens of crimes, and almost no one gets deported. I think very few countries have actually went through with deportations. I think Italy, Switzerland. But we've seen, you remember the story, I think it was in Sweden, where they tried to deport a criminal, and a crazy lady within the airplane started shouting.
A little girl. Yeah, she was like 18 or something, if even that.
Yes, and they canceled the flight. This has happened many times. I remember a story in the UK where they tried to deport someone three times, and all three times, there are organizations behind this. This is not happening by a coincidence.
Yeah.
There are organizations, and they know that when someone is going to be deported, they send one of their people to the airport, and they act crazy, and the flight gets canceled. And we no longer control our countries. We have these crazy NGOs making the rules, making the laws.
Yep, that is absolutely right. Hey, we're kind of at the end of the first segment. It's gone by very quickly here. I do want to plug your stuff, obviously, here, Poseidon, so we know, or so that people know where to go to follow your live streams and stuff like that. You're still, do the live streams on Saturdays still on the new channel then?
Yes, every Saturday I do a long live stream, at least 3 hours, with all the news of the week. And usually I try to concentrate on white pilling news during Saturday, so it's a celebration party. But I also stream sometimes during the week. I don't have a fixed schedule, so if anyone is wants to watch my stream, please subscribe and enable the bell notification. And unfortunately, after my stream ends, I always delete them, because we know why.
Yeah, no, that could be a smart move to make. So folks, head on over and subscribe, get his subscriber numbers back up again. Poseidon Live, he does some great live streams and kind of shorter video too. I tweeted out the one about the substitution migration explained background on the UN, kind of more thoroughly so than I've seen. He goes through like the abstract of the document that was released and looking at I think Europe and America specifically, what's mentioned in there is the recommendations and stuff like that. So very good video on that. It's had just only about 1,000 views. A video like that should have 100,000 views, for Christ's sake. Should have 1,000,000 views so people know what's going on with this. But, you know, they're gaslighting us into thinking that it's not happening. But then they're celebrating that it's happening, and it's the greatest thing ever. But if you talk about it and say, actually, this policy is kind of bad, we shouldn't do this, you get banned and shadow banned and blocked called a racist for talking about it. It's pretty amazing. Is there anything else that you have upcoming that you'd like to plug before we take a break in part one? We're going to continue in part two. We're actually going to dive in a little bit more in detail with, like, Israel and things like that, that's the YouTube usually kind of frowns on a little bit. We're going to continue at redicemembers.com, our members' website, with Poseidon and continue to talk about this. But anything else you want to plug before we take a break, yeah, Poseidon?
I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to appear on your show. The only thing I want to plug is my... Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, and I have a couple of backup channels in case the sanction option hits me again. Subscribe to them too. And I'm also on other platforms. I'm on BitChute, I'm on OpenTube, I'm on DLive. I try to expand on other platforms.
Very good. Send us some of the links directly to that. We'll have that in the description text as well. And you had your, what is it, the Clan World is its own YouTube channel now, right?
Yes, I've made a Clan World series.
Actually, there we go, there it is, right there.
22 videos, but I deleted them from YouTube.
Ouch.
Because they started getting strikes, and even people who mirrored them got strikes. And now I am uploading them to another platform. People can find the link in the description of my video. So
I guess we should let's plug BitChute then, right? That's where they can see everything. Your main Poseidon, you have like almost 3,200 subscribers there.
Yes. And there are, I think, 190 videos on BitChute. So most of my work is still available on BitChute.
Wonderful. I guess we should just, I mean, I always try to plug it, obviously, BitChute, but it's like, that's the place where you can see stuff now. So definitely go there, folks. All the videos are there. Everything is there. Wonderful. Okay, so make sure you subscribe, Poseidon, on BitChute. Also, of course, Poseidon Live on YouTube. And then you do have the Clan World on YouTube if you want to follow that too. But yeah, stay with us, everybody. We'll continue in part two. Stay with us, Poseidon. Thank you so much again for the first part here. We'll be right back. Much more discussing here, much more news and stories. But Israel and all this stuff to discuss in the second part. So we'll be right back after a short break.